wherever you may be around the world, and thank you for joining us once again. I'm Jono, and you're listening to Truth to You. That's truth, number two, letter U.org. And joining me today is my mate over in Ireland, Jason Spiritual Babies. G'day, mate.
G'day, Jono. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you, my friend. Can I call you Mr. Spiritual Babies for the duration of this conversation?
You certainly can.
What is the website, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
It's www.spiritualbabies.net.
Awesome. www.spiritualbabies.net is where you can find Mr. Spiritual Babies' website. Now, Mr. Spiritual Babies,
yes.
Of late, there's been a few, you know, there's been some people over the last few months going, hey, you know, can we do a bit of New Testament gear? You know, we've been spending a lot of time in the Tanakh, but we haven't kind of returned to the New Testament. And I thought, you know, maybe you and I could just could do that. And so we're going to nutshell some information. And what I've been doing, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is I went to, over summer, I went to the local evangelism mission that came out here from Sydney out to our country town. There's a whole coach load of budding evangelists, Christian evangelists, that invited everybody to the week-long event that it was. And I thought, hey, I'm everybody, so I can go. And off I went, and I had a whole lot of conversations with Christians, just Sunday Christians, just to refresh, a bit of a refresher course for me, to sort of go back to my the tradition that I was brought up in, and I know you were brought up in as well, and just revisit some of the, because it's easy to forget, you know, it's easy to forget where they're coming from and how they think, how I used to think, and how I used to view the Bible. I've also been attending every Sunday a Christian Bible study with just a small group. Once again, they advertised in the paper and said, everybody's welcome. I said, I'm everybody, I can go. And they've been tolerating me, and I've just been making a few notes. Now, one thing that has come up a couple of times in conversations that I've had of late, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is the Melchizedek priesthood. And I thought, now, I have gone over this maybe three or four times in the past on Truth to You, just quickly. We're going to kind of focus in on it as quickly as we can and see if we can nutshell it. And, of course, we're talking about Hebrews chapter 7. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 7, Spiritual Babies, I've got 7:11. How about that? 7 verse 11. There's a little subheading that says, need for a new priesthood. Have you got it in front of you? Hebrews 7:11?
I do. If then perfection came through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise in the order of Melchizedek, and not be described as being in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must be a change of law as well.
There it is.
Yep, there it is, a change of law as well.
Change of law and a change of priesthood. And this is what I want to focus in on, Mr. Spiritual Babies, because the suffix hood in particular, I want everyone to remember the suffix hood. And I want you to think about, when you get the chance, dear listener, the definition of the suffix hood. What does it mean when we think of, when we tack hood onto the end of a word like priesthood or brotherhood or neighborhood or what's a few others? Knighthood. A knighthood.
That's a great, actually a knighthood is a very good example.
So now what we're doing, now under my little subheading here, I've got the cross reference, which of course is Psalm 110 verse 4. So if we fling over there, and of course the writer of Hebrews, and incidentally, who wrote the book of Hebrews, by the way, Spiritual Babies?
Who knows?
I don't know who knows. I've never met anyone who knows. Have you met anyone who knows?
Your guess is as good as mine. I haven't. I have not.
So that is true. Anyone's guess is as good as anyone's guess, because we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Anyway, having established that, Psalm 110 verse 4 says, what does it say?
The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now, it says a priest forever, but it doesn't say according to the priesthood of Melchizedek.
Right.
And I know that sounds like a sort of a petty thing, but I wanted to mention it because we're going to make some sense out of that. There is no mention in Psalm 110 verse 4 of a priesthood. Now, boy, this is what happened. I was having a conversation with someone who in the past has done a number of appearances here on Truth to You. Mr. Spiritual Babies, and he was telling me about the this order of Melchizedek, this priesthood of Melchizedek, and he said, "I want to come on the program, and I want to do on Truth to You a program on the priesthood of Melchizedek." And I said, "Look, that's wonderful." He said, "Look, I've got like 7,000 word essay I've done, and it's really good. I want to do it?" I said, "Can you just? I just want you to answer me one question. What is the Hebrew word for order?" In Psalm 110, verse 4, what Hebrew word is used there for the term order in Psalm 110, verse 4? He said, "I don't know." And I thought, there you have it, 7,000 plus words, ready to come on the radio program, tell us all about it, and he's not aware of what the Hebrew actually says. And I thought, that's no fun. So what I did was I explained to him what I'm about to explain to everybody that I have gone through before, but let's see if we can nutshell it in a way that makes a little bit more sense.
Well, will we give everybody the chance to have a look at this at home?
Yeah.
And we can throw out the Strong's Concordance number.
What is the number?
It's 1700, so 1700.
1700, and that is the word Devrati, right?
Well, actually, we've got on the Bible CC page, BibleCC.com, which is a great resource online. It's it just says Dibra, and it's from Dabar.
I'm going to okay. So the root word, you're right. The root word is Dabar, and the word is the Hebrew word Dabar means word. Simply enough.
I will say that on the actual translation page, it is Dibrati.
That's
so
right.
When they link back to the Strong's word, then they don't actually give you the context or the extension.
No, they don't give you the
root.
They don't give you the particular form. So let me break it down for people. It's a word that is used five times in the Tanakh. Three times it is used as the word Devrat, and Devrat is it's in Ecclesiastes, all of them, all three, and it is Ecclesiastes 3:18, 7:14, and chapter 8. Verse 2. Again, Ecclesiastes 3:18, 7:14, and 8, verse 2 is where that particular word is used in that form. And what we're going to be looking at is not only what it says in the Hebrew, but more importantly, Mr. Spiritual Babies, we're going to be looking at how it is translated into the Septuagint. Do you know why?
Because the book of Hebrews had a stronger connection to Greek than it did to Hebrew.
Why is it called Hebrews? Anyway, so whoever it was that wrote Hebrews quotes exclusively from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Tanakh. So what we're going to be doing, all we're going to be doing, boys and girls, is we're going to look at each of these, the mentioning of this particular form of the word. We're going to be crossing over to the Septuagint to see how it translates the word. And we're going to try and figure out if there is such a thing in the Tanakh as a priesthood of Melchizedek. Fair?
Fair.
Goody. Okay, let me do it quickly. This is what it says in Ecclesiastes 3:18. It has a Devrat. The word that is used is Lalia. The Greek word is Lalia. And Lalia, if I can get the Strong, here it is. Okay, now the definitions according to Strong, it's very simple. It's talk, saying, or speech. Lalia,
right.
Talk, saying, or speech. Ecclesiastes 3:18 in the Septuagint. In Ecclesiastes 7:14 in the Septuagint, it translates Devrat in the same way as Lalia, again, talk, saying, speech. However, Spiritual Babies, in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 2, it translates the very, very same word as Logos. Now, that's no big deal because we know Logos, of course, is word. Now, it's much more detailed than a little bit more complex than just word, but we're not going to get into that now. We don't really have time to, but it's fair enough to say, okay, so Lalia, talk, saying, speech, logos, word, it's related, it all makes sense. That's how they translate Devrat. That comes from the root of Devar, which is word. Now, Devrati appears, as we said, Psalm 110, verse 4, but it also appears in Job 5:8. What do you
right.
have in Job 5:8?
And I would place my cause before, is that line. So Devrati is my cause in Job 5:8.
There it is. And now the word in the Greek is now, I apologize to all the Greek scholars out there. I am not a Greek scholar, so I know I'm going to accent this wrong, but it's something to the effect of epikalesomai. Epikalesomai. Oh, you know what? I'm actually going to quote the definition from Hani's Greek textbook. She's just come back from doing a Greek intensive. I am by no means a Greek scholar. She's on her way to being one, which is kind of handy. So she looked these up for me. And the word epikalesomai.
That's like a salad.
It's like a, it says call upon. The definition that is given here in the this is the Joint Association of Classical Teachers Greek Course Reading Greek Grammar and Exercises, second edition. Wonderful book if you're into such things. And the way that they define it is simply to call upon, to witness. I call upon to witness, or I will, in this particular sense, I will call upon to witness, to be more precise, in Job 5:8.
Right, and I think that's a fair translation. When I'm reading the King James Version, it says, and unto God would I commit my cause.
There it is.
So you can see it's a very clear definition there of him calling out with whatever his cause is
now
and witnessing to it.
And witnessing to it, and that's fair enough. Now what we want to say is, of course, it's not that far removed from the definitions of the other Greek words that we've said, word or speech or whatever it may be. It's all, you know, talk, saying, speech, word, and in this case, to call upon to witness. It's all kind of related, okay? We're kind of on the same page here. It's not really a problem. We're going to get to Psalm 110, verse 4. Before we do, hey, I found some really cool verses when I was researching this today. Can I read that to you?
Sure.
Because when we talk about this particular word, Greek word in the Septuagint, epikalesomai, and it is mentioned in, it's mentioned all over the place, but it's mentioned in regards to David using it in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse, if I remember correctly, I think it's verse 4. This is what I'm going to start from the beginning, from 22. It says, then David spoke to Yehovah the words of this song on the day when Yehovah had delivered him from the hand of his enemies, from the hand of Shaul, Saul. And he said, Yehovah is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon Yehovah, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. That's verse 4. I'm going to read it again. I will call upon Yehovah. That part that there that says, I will call upon, that's our word. That's epikalesomai. There it is. I will call upon Yehovah, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. And it goes on, and it's wonderful. And actually, it is almost quoted word for word in Psalm 18:3. It says, I will call upon Yehovah, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, even though this particular Greek word, Mr. Spiritual Babies, this particular Greek word is used in both of those, it's not the same word, interestingly. It's not the same Hebrew word as is in Psalm 110, verse 4. In this case, the word is 2 Samuel 22:4 and Psalm 18, verse 3. The word is kara. And I'm just going to throw that into the mix because the definition of that word, according to the, what am I looking at, the BDB, the number is H7121, and chara is the Hebrew word, and the definition, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is to call out.
Right.
So it's a word of similar definition, though it is a different Hebrew word. It's a word of similar definition to devarati, to call out, to it says to call forth, to cry unto, it says proclaim, to pronounce. So once again, it's a spoken word. It's proclamation. Again, it's very, very similar to the other words that we mentioned. It's kind of all on the same page so far. Now, this brings us to Psalm 110, verse 4. And what we're going to do is just look at that and see what the word is translated to in the Septuagint for the word devarati, which in the English is translated as order. Psalm 110, verse 4, in the English order, in the Hebrew, Devarati, and we've gone through all the other examples, and we've demonstrated that all the words are pretty much on the same page as far as definition is concerned, whether in Greek or Hebrew, even the expressions in the English, they're all pretty much on the same page. Here we are at Psalm 110, verse 4, Devarati, in the Septuagint is translated as the word taxon, or the root being taxis. Now, once again, I'm going to go to the Joint Association of Classical Teachers Greek course, Reading Greek Grammar and Exercises, second edition, put out by Cambridge, and go to their definition of that word, which I think is very good. And this is what they have to say. They say that that word is defined as taxis, order or rank. Order or rank. I've also seen it defined as a successive order, rank, or status.
Right.
Now, this is a taxis, which is a successive rank, order, or status, is a Greek word that is synonymous with the English suffix hood, hence the word priesthood or knighthood, right, or brotherhood. It has nothing to do with a spoken word, a call, a decree, or any of the definitions that we have just, or the words with similar definitions that we have just investigated, has absolutely nothing to do with that. And you have to wonder, how on earth does that appear in the Septuagint as a word totally unrelated by definition to what is in the Hebrew, Devarati?
It's almost the polar opposite, so they couldn't be more different.
It's entirely different. There's no connection between the two definitions. There's absolutely no connection between the two definitions. Now, I don't think you and I have the answer to that. There's certain speculations that listeners can make in regards to, perhaps in regards to the Septuagint, perhaps in regards to the Book of Hebrews, whoever wrote it. And I'm going to leave that to the listener to do. But what I encourage the listener to do is to look at these words in the Greek, look at them in the Hebrew, and you see if you can make the connection, because I cannot see how a connection is made from Devarati to the Greek word taxis. Now, what we're going to do is just go back to Psalm 110, verse 4, and entertain the possibilities. Have you got, what is this translation?
It's the Chabad.org translation, where they have a translation of the Tanakh, and it's interlinear with the Hebrew, so it's great because you can check the sources. The Lord swore and will not repent. You are a priest forever because of the speech of Melchizedek. And it doesn't mention any kingship, just the name. But we were to assume, I guess, it's the same person. But it definitely says because of the speech.
Because of the speech of Melchizedek. So there it is. Wow. There's another translation that concurs. Obviously not based on the Septuagint. Let me see. What I'm going to do is read from the new Jewish Publication Society translation. This is what I have in Psalm 110, verse 4, because not every translation obviously translates it as order in the English. It says, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, a rightful king by my decree." Now, in this case, it's translated, Devarati is translated as my decree.
Which is closer.
Which is closer. Incidentally, a rightful king by my decree. It's not Melchizedek, it's a rightful king. And that's possible to do to the text as well, because, of course, Melchizedek means king of righteousness or rightful king. You can do that very easily to the text. Another one that I want to read, I'm looking at the New Oxford Annotated Bible, New Revised Standard Version, and this is what it says. It has in the main text, it says, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." It has a little D next to that. You follow that down to the notes, and it says, "Or forever a rightful king by my edict." Edict, my edict.
That's very interesting, isn't it?
It seems to be saying that these are words that were given by God. And he's saying, this is my decree, my edict, if you like. The other one that uses Devarati, of course, as I mentioned, is Job 5:8. And I'm just going to go back there because there was the Young Literal Translation, which I found was interesting on Job 5:8. It does say, Yet I inquire of God, and for God I give my word. There you go. There's a literal translation, and it actually literally translates it as my word, de pratique. So what is the? I just want to entertain the possibility. What if it actually is in regards to Melchizedek? Well, he only spoke a handful of words, and that's in Genesis chapter 14.
That's right.
And what are the words? What are the words that that he actually speaks? Because this is really what we're talking about: is the words that are spoken. What does he say? And this is Genesis 14 verse 19.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out the bread and wine. He was a priest to the God Most High. He blessed him and said, Avram is blessed by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and give praise to God Most High, who has handed over your enemies to you. And then we go into the tithing thing.
Yeah, no, let's not get into the tithing
thing.
Let's not go there. But 19 and 20, I really like that translation, actually. Can you read that again, 19 and 20?
Sure. Avram is blessed by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and give praise to God Most High, who has handed over your enemies to you.
Brilliant. Let me read the whole chapter of Psalm 110, keeping in mind the theme of praising God, blessing God, who has delivered the enemies into your hand or saved you from the enemies. Put it in the context of Psalm 110. This is what the whole chapter says. Jehovah said to my... And that would be Adonai, I think it would be. The Lord said to my Lord. Oh, incidentally, there's a whole thing about that. How can David be talking about, that Jehovah said to my Lord? So obviously it must be someone greater than David is the argument there. Let's not get into that. But it is a possibility that David has put to music, if you like. He's made a song of a prophecy. One of the prophets has given a prophecy. And he could just simply have written it down and decided, I'm going to put that to music. Here it is. I'm going to turn it into
actually,
a psalm.
I've read also that Psalm 110, along with some other psalms, weren't written by David, but to David.
Right.
And so in that sense, the Lord, being Jehovah, declared to my Lord, being David, to sit at my right hand until I was... So it's someone that wrote it for David, about David.
So it could be, or it could be from a prophet. In any case, I think that's highly likely. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew on your youth. Jehovah has sworn and will not relent. You are a Kohen forever. I prefer to say Kohen there. Of course, Melchizedek was a Kohen. Of course, we read about the Egyptian priests who were also referred to as Kohen. And we also read about how David's sons are also Kohens in some form of temple service. Not to say that they're replacing what the descendants of Aaron or the Levites are doing, but they are set apart to perform a kind of service to Jehovah, and that's simply what Kohen means here as well, that they're set apart to perform a service. And it says, so Jehovah has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest, a Kohen forever, according to my word, Devrati, according to my word of Melchizedek, or according to my word of a righteous king. And it goes on in verse 5, Jehovah is at your right hand, he shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink by the of the brook of the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. Clearly, this whole chapter is within the context of ruling and defeating the enemies. Isn't that fair?
Very fair. I mean, if we look at just verse 2, the Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, rule over your surrounding enemies.
There it is. And once again, as Melchizedek said, Jehovah's word spoken by Melchizedek, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.
Amen.
It's perfectly reasonable to be able to place that in the context of Psalm 110, verse 4, if it is, in fact, referring back to Melchizedek of Genesis chapter 14. But what isn't reasonable, I would say, And I challenge the listeners to take this in consideration, really give it some thought. What is not reasonable is translating the Hebrew word devarati as has been translated in every other place, because it's only mentioned five times. In all the other places, it has been translated reasonably, but it cannot be translated as taxis to mean a successive rank, order, or status, as is suggested by the word priesthood. Would you agree?
Very much so. Do you think it's worth, Jono, having a look at the Job verse, and rather than using my cause, placing in the order of, so we've taken it one side, we've taken the my cause from Job.
Oh, see what would happen to Job if we did that to him. Well,
it's one word, so it means one thing.
Yeah, no, if it was to be the same, I mean, imagine that, because we're looking, I was looking at the Young's Literal Translation, which says, yet I inquire for God, and for God I give my word. But let's just say that, yet I inquire for God, and for God I give my order.
Right, and in the Holman Christian Standard, 5:8 says, however, if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would present my case to him. Mm-hmm. Whereas it would read, if Dibrati was read the same way as they'd like us to read it, however, if I were you, I would appeal to God, and I would present my case, would be, I would make my order, I would present my order to him.
Mm.
It doesn't gel.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. Now here's another way of putting it, and I think we'll leave it here. Let me see if I can nutshell this, and you tell me if it makes sense. You, Mr. Spiritual Babies, have been knighted. You're now Sir Spiritual Babies. By the way, if you were to be knighted for anything, what would you like to be knighted for?
Oh, wow. Is that a totally trivial question?
I don't know. No, I mean, you know, does the Queen knight people in your part of Ireland?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. If they have done something for England, which isn't very often, to be fair, mm-hmm. but in the north of Ireland, because the north of Ireland is part of the UK, people do get knighted, and generally it's for a lifetime achievement of some sort, or they've done some great feat of sportsmanship, which has kind of elevated the name of the UK above other nations. Then they'll mm-hmm. get knighted. So really, it's when you're elevated above everybody else.
There you go. So if you were so elevated into the knighthood, what would you be the knight of?
Oh, good grief. I would be the knight of looking stuff up on Google.
You would be the knight of Google procrastination.
That's right.
And in this analogy, you are, okay, you're Sir Spiritual Babies. You come into my restaurant. I'm the waiter. I come up to you and I say, Sir, can I take your order? And I use the word order, and you give me the order of what it is. You verbally convey to me what it is you want to eat, and I go and make it happen. Okay, and that's kind of along the lines of what we're reading about in terms of order according to the Hebrew, in a way. Now, let's put it another way. Let's say that the word order in the way that the Septuagint uses it. And you are Sir Spiritual Babies. You come into my restaurant. You sit down. I'm the waiter. I come up to you and I say, Sir, may I take your order? And you say, yes, and now I have a knighthood as well.
Right. If only it were that easy.
I've just joined your order.
Excellent.
Asked you if I could. You said yes, and now I've joined the order of Google procrastination. I'm a knight with you.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was so easy to say a small thing and suddenly be accepted into a great big thing you have no understanding of?
But this is the point that I'm making, and particularly Spiritual Babies. This is the point that I'm making with so many people who associate themselves with the so-called Hebrew roots movement today, which I think is a wonderful thing. What I don't understand is like, I've seen so many in the Hebrew roots movement, proponents of this so-called Melchizedek priesthood, and yet they have to take it from the Septuagint. How can you be a Hebrew roots person if you're basing, really what it comes down to, basing the whole so-called Melchizedek priesthood on one word, one mistranslated word in a Greek text? Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Right. So to put that in, to take us back to the beginning, the book of Hebrews quotes from the Greek and not from the Hebrew.
The book of Hebrews quotes exclusively from the Septuagint and not from the Hebrew. And all we are saying is that the word that is used in the Hebrew is not the word that is used in the Septuagint. There it is, with a little more focus. I have mentioned it a few times before on the program, but there it is, just with a little bit more of a spotlight on it. Thank you, Jason Spiritual Babies. Once again, your website?
www.spiritualbabies.net.
Spiritualbabies.net. You've been listening to truth2u.org, truth2u.org with Jono and Jason Spiritual Babies. My friend, thank you for coming on the program. And until next time, dear listener, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.